Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages of Scripture this morning. One is found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and the other passage is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Now, let me ask you a question while you're turning there. When you look back over your life and you're looking at your life as you come to the end of a year, what do you look at and what do you see? Do you like your life where it is right now? You know, it's amazing how many people, once you start talking to them, find out how dissatisfied they are. And it's not really with other people they're dissatisfied with. It's really their own life. You talk to them and they say, you know, my life is just really in a shambles, and this has happened to my life and that has happened to my life, and my life is just a mess. And a lot of individuals just really believe that that's the type of life that they're supposed to live. And I'm not talking about people who are lost and don't know Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people who supposedly have been saved. They've invited Jesus Christ into their life, and they look at their life, and their life is a shambles, or they say it's a shambles because they really don't think that God has much more for them than where they're presently living. Well, that is not the truth. It's not the truth according to the Word of God. Because the reality of the life that God gave to you and God gave to me is a life that God wants for us to enjoy, not only to enjoy and to have, but to have His abundance, to have His blessings, because He is a holy God, He's a loving God. And I'm not talking about this self-centered stuff, but I'm talking about a life that is pleasing to the Lord God. And so this morning we're going to begin a brand new series, and I encourage you to do your best to stay all through it, because we're going to deal with in depth the principles, the keys to a life of abundance and a life of blessing. Because the truth about it is, that is the life that God has so designed and desired for you and me. Think about it a minute. Would Jesus Christ die on the cross so that you and I could barely get through life and barely exist and just barely make it? And yet that is the reality of what so many people are saying and how so many people are living. But I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy for just a moment, and then turn over to the Gospel of John. And I want you to listen to these two verses of Scripture in Deuteronomy. There's just two simple yet profound verses, because God is giving this to the nation of Israel. He's telling this to the people of Israel, to the people that will follow Him, and He's telling them what He will do for them, how He'll respond to them, and what will happen to their life if there are certain things that happen. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, here's His covenant word to the children of Israel, and it's to you and me as well. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, I want you to listen to that word, and all these blessings shall come on thee, overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now if you'll turn over to the New Testament book of John, John chapter 10, and just one verse here, because I want you to listen very carefully. There is so much, but I want to isolate to this one verse. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He is encouraging them, reminding them. And I want you to listen to what He says when it comes to life, when it comes to living, when it comes to abundance. Listen to what He says. Talking about the thief and talking about Satan and all his emissaries. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen carefully to this next part. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That is so significant, I want to read it one more time. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In the Old Testament, you've got God speaking to the nation of Israel saying, I want to tell you, this is my desire for you, a life of blessing, a life of abundance. Hundreds of years later, Jesus, God in the flesh, speaks to His disciples and to everyone that will listen to Him, And he says, I want you to understand, I am come, the very purpose that I am come, that you could have life, not just mediocre life, not just casual life, not just existing life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Now, because we live in a world that is so warped, that is so twisted from the Word of God, I'm going to take deliberate time throughout this series because I really believe if you'll listen carefully and you'll make it your business to be present, I believe in your life personally, deliberately, and intentionally, you will notice a radical change. But here's the thing about it. You can't just sit there idle and not listen. You can't fall asleep during the message. You've got to listen because the reality of Scripture is this. God did not create you for mediocrity. Now, the reality of the world that you look at, the world that we live in, the world of so many people, you say, well, I look at the sea of people that I live around and theirs is a life of mediocrity. But ask this question, how many people have absolutely been absorbed with the things of this world? And so they're not living, they're not enjoying life, there's no abundance to them. And so I want to deal with just simple four basic principles this morning that are so important as a part of a foundation. There's so much in this series that I'm going to share with you that you need to make it your business to be here. But I want you to follow along in your copy of the Scripture and also in your outline because there is one thing that needs to happen at the very outset. First and foremost, there needs to be that realization and that awareness that abundant life is God's idea. And why do I say that? Because when you read the text of this Scripture and you listen to the world, you know, you listen to all sorts of teaching and all sorts of stuff and all sorts of things that's out there. Jesus is the one who brought up the phrase abundant life. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. In other words, it is God's desire. It is God's design. It is God's intent. It is God's motivation that you and I experience life at his best, not self-centered life the way that we could do it, but his life that only he can give. Now, you see, the reality about it is this. There's a lot of people who are, well, they say, well, I'm saved. Why am I not enjoying life? I want to get to that in just a little bit, and you're going to understand why so many are not enjoying life. But Jesus said in verse 10, he said, I am come. And he said, he's saying to his disciples, I want you to mentally, cognitively, emotionally realize in the core of your being that I have come that you could have life. And I say that because there's a lot of Christians who they're listening to the Bible, but it's a man-made Bible in the fabric of their mind. It's amazing how many versions of the Bible there are. I'm not talking about written versions. It's amazing how many mental versions of the Bible there are. And the truth about it is, if you're not in the Word of God, there is a mental version of the Bible in your mind that you're going by, and it's the Bible according to you. And the reality of it is, that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people are living that type of life, and they're not enjoying abundance. They're not enjoying what God wants them to have. And so they're just settling. But, you know, when Jesus said this, and it's very interesting the way that he put it, because it is God's desire that our life be packed with those super added things that only God can give. Listen, you look at the life of Abraham. Let me just give you a few examples. You look at the life of Abraham. You look at the life of David. You look at the life of Solomon. You look at the life of Joseph. You look at the life of Joshua. You look at the life of Paul. You look at any person's life in Scripture that walked with God, and their life was packed with the abundance of God's blessings. Why? Now, were there struggles? Yes, there's struggles. You don't have blessings apart from struggles because there's always going to be somebody that's going to try to rob you of his blessings. Now, I'm not going to say there's not difficulties in life. There are. They're God-designed difficulties to prune you, to make you what he wants you to be. And those aren't bad things. That's part of the problem. We look at some things that happen in our life and we say, that's bad. Let me ask you a question. How can anything be bad if it draws you closer to God or calls you to turn to God or talk to God more? And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to get it in your mind. Because I can tell you this, and I want you to listen. If you're like I was when I was a teenager or in my 20s or 30s, chances are in most of our minds, we don't have the foggiest notion that God wants great things for our life. We think, well, we go to church and then we get stuff on our own. We go to church and we just manipulate through life. And the reality of so many Christians through life are they're living manipulating. Well, I'm going to get me this, and I'm going to get me that, and I'm going to get the other thing. And they wonder why their life is not a life of blessing, because it's a life of manipulation. I know some people who call themselves Christians, and it's manipulation after manipulation. Well, it's everything they can get for themselves. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that God created you to manipulate your life? Absolutely not. God created you so that you would depend upon Him. Why do you think crisis come in your life? So that you'll get on your knees and talk to the Lord. And so, you know, that's one of those things that happen in life. You know, because there's something about crisis in our life that we turn to our Heavenly Father. Even in earthly life. You know, when you have a crisis, you turn to your earthly parent. Just like this morning. Now, the crisis is absolved this morning, but we had a crisis on the way to church this morning. Oh, it was a major crisis. And I'm not teasing. It was a serious crisis. My granddaughter fell off of the changing table. And my wife turned to me, and she heard my daughter scream, and I heard my wife scream, and almost made me scream. Because, you know, the crisis. But listen, what did the crisis do? My daughter got on the phone with her mother, and I think she's been on the phone all throughout the morning. Why? Because that's one of the things that moms are there for. Let me ask you a question. You're in a crisis in life. You say, well, God doesn't want abundance for me. Yes, He does. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus not mean what He said? Well, you got to say, well, Jesus didn't mean it for me. Well, then you must be the only exception on the face of the earth, right? Wrong. There is no exception. But here's what we do. We want to bypass what Jesus says. And we want to say, well, I know that was good for them in their time. But that's not for me, and that's not for my life. And that's why you're missing the abundance that God has. And you see, Scripture makes it very clear. You know, because here's why God wants for you His abundance. He loves you. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you parents, Christmas just has come by, and how many of you parents gave your children a lump of coal? No, you say, man, my bank account is really suffering for what I gave my child. Why? Because you love them. You love them. You want to give good things to your children. Now, listen to me real carefully. This is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where you finally share what you do you really believe God loves you? Now, you can say yes, but here's what happens. A lot of times deep in the core of our soul, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how I've lived. Just listen to a few verses of Scripture. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And also the Bible says in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed that the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now listen, God's love is never just lip service. God doesn't say, I love you, Benny. God always, always, always demonstrates His love. That is the nature of God. God's not like us. You know, we'll say somebody we love you, but can I borrow this or have this? Well, don't know. You know, we sort of struggle with that. God's love is never lip service. And so Scripture makes it very clear. And one of the things that we need to just simply realize is this. Abundance is not man's idea. It didn't come from sociologists, psychologists. John 10:10 was not written by a psychiatrist. John 10:10 was written by Holy God. Holy God says, I am come that you might have life and have it more what? Say it with me. Abundantly. So the issue is, do I believe that or do I not? And the reality is, I may say it, but the issue is, what am I fleshing out of my life? Well, you say, well, I don't have $10 million in my bank account. Then the definition of the word abundance is radically wrong. And I'll get to that a little bit later on in the message series. Because you see, we always weigh things according to money. But here's something you and I know. There's a whole lot of things money cannot buy. Money cannot buy you peace. It cannot buy you serenity. It cannot buy you tranquility. It cannot buy you love. So first and foremost, we need to realize that that abundant life is God's idea. And second of all, we need to reaffirm that God wants His abundant life for us personally. Now, when you look at the text of Scripture, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it. Now, You know, the reality is, here's what so many people think. Well, God, if you want from me abundant life, you pour it on. Well, there's a problem with that. God cannot pour on you abundance because in abundance, there are some things that he requires of us to do. And, you know, there's some principles that follow along that line. And so the very phrase that they might have. Here's what God says in the very translation of that word. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It literally means that God wants you to hold, God wants you to have, God wants you to possess. God wants it for you every day. Now, you say, well, I've got some good friends and they're missing out on life. And I know that, well, why are they missing out on life? Because I can challenge you, there's probably one of two reasons why they're missing out. But here's the key for right now. God wants it for you personally. Let me just tell you a personal illustration. This is serious to me because it was when I was a kid. I was wondering, you know, Lord, where's my spouse? Am I ever going to get married? Now, you don't ask that question after you're married. But when you're young and you're thinking, am I going to be one of those that goes through life without a spouse? Andy Stanley said this one time, and I love the way he said it. He said, I was scared of two things in life. Number one, that I wouldn't marry. And number two, that I'd marry an ugly woman. He said that was my two fears in life. But the reality of it is there's a lot of fears inside of every one of us that we never tell anybody else about. There's a lot of private things going on in your heart that it may be funny to somebody else. It's not funny to you. It's very serious. And you see, the reality of it is in this passage of Scripture, and you can look back through the track record of Scripture. When God told the children of Israel, got them out of Egyptian bondage, he said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with what? Milk and that simply meant his abundance. In other words, there was going to be abundance of blessings. There was going to be abundant crops. There's going to be ample things because God wanted for his children, the children of Israel, his abundance. God hasn't changed, folks. And the reason why so many people struggle with worshiping God is they feel like they're serving a God who is stingy and chintzy and he don't want them to have anything. Listen, when you realize this God of the Bible is a God of abundance, a God of blessing, a God who wants to bestow upon you, it absolutely will revolutionize the way you look at him and the way you live your life. That's exactly what Jesus said. I'm come that you might have life, that there could be an abundance. And yet the sad part about it is there's a lot of people who just don't believe it's for me. God, you don't want it for me. I know you probably want it for missionaries and you want it for preachers and you want it for this person and you want it for that person. Listen, the God who created you loves you personally, loves you intimately, and he wants that for your life. And you see, if I don't believe it, then here's what I won't do. I won't do what he says that can bring it about. You see, here's something in Scripture that you'll discover and we'll walk through in this series. There were some processes that were necessary to experience God's abundance. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully, and I'm going to say this very slow. There are reasons why some of you are not experiencing the abundance, and part of it is you're not willing to go through the process that's necessary. For God to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, they had to walk, they had to listen, they had to follow, they had to obey, and they had to face some enemies. There's some enemies in some of your lives you're not willing to face. I was watching last night a documentary of a 600-pound woman, and she was trying to save her life. She hadn't been out of her room in 2 years. They was trying to do a surgery on her so she could live. And went through the process. And as I watched it, I kept thinking to myself, why are you where you are? And not saying anything about her size, but there were some decisions that she made that led to the destruction of her life. They did the surgery on her and thought she was well on her way. She started losing weight, and then something radically happened. And she passed away in March of this year. But the reality of it was, is there were some decisions that she made. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. In this series, One of the things that God shows throughout Scripture, there are decisions and choices that if you make the wrong choice, I want you to listen, I want to say the simplest and the most kind word, you will assassinate the rest of your life. And that's the simplest and the easiest and the most kind word, because you say, well, that's a sobering word. And that's exactly right, because you look at some people in Scripture and they assassinated their future. King Saul assassinated his future because of some decisions he made in life. Listen, there are some things that are happening in your life that, you know, God has an abundance, but he won't violate your choice. You say, well, if God wants it from me, then why don't he just rain it down from heaven? You got a problem. First problem is you're not even recognizing the holy nature of God. God cannot bring on your life something that you're not willing to allow him to. You say, well, yeah, I'll let him bring it on. I'm not going to change my lifestyle. Well, that's the first problem. And you see, the reality of it is, if you and I are going to enjoy the abundance of God, we first of all have to remember it's available. Second of all, it's for us. And third, that abundant life comes only through Jesus Christ. Now, you say, now I knew you was going to get to that. That's exactly right. Because Scripture makes it very clear. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, there is absolutely no way that you can have abundance without Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can give you an example to help you put handles on it. We've just passed Christmas. But suppose you committed a crime some weeks ago, and on December the 26th, you was going to court to be tried for that crime. It didn't matter what you got on Christmas Day, it would all pale in comparison that you're getting ready to go to court. You're getting ready to be tried on December the 26th. You may buy yourself a car, somebody may buy you a car for Christmas, you may have the biggest and the best of something, but all of that pales in comparison to the fact that on December the 26th, you're going to stand before a court, a judge, maybe in federal court or certain, and you're going to have to give an account for the crime you committed. You see, it doesn't make things as exciting, does it? Things really pale in comparison when you realize you're getting ready to stand before a judge and be tried. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Before a holy God, we are all criminals. We are guilty of crimes of sin. And it doesn't matter how much stuff, how much you get, how much you have, how much you achieve, there is going to be a day when you stand before the tribunal judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your sins have not been acquitted by his blood, he will hold you accountable for that sin, and he will try you for rejecting the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. And you will be found guilty. You will spend your eternity separated from God. And tell me how things in life are going to give you abundance in the line of that type of thinking. That is the truth of God's word. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Every one of us are going to be judged. So you see, if I don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all the stuff in life isn't going to do a thing when I stand before him and give account of my life. And you see, but here's the thing about it. Let's go back and you've committed a crime and maybe you don't have a whole lot of stuff, but you know you're going to stand before the judge on the 26th. But you get a call late on Christmas Eve night from the court system. They're staying in late. And they said, it's the strangest thing. Somebody is willing to pay your crime debt with their life. You are released. What would you do? You wouldn't rush down there and say, no, I want to pay for it myself. It didn't matter if you just had a bowl of beans on Christmas Day. You'd be excited and joyful. And here's the point. If you miss Jesus, there is no abundant life. There's stuff, there's things, but here's what every person that doesn't have Jesus Christ has to live wondering. And I really do believe they live wondering about it from day to day. Hope I don't die. Hope something don't happen to me physically. Hope this or this or this doesn't happen. But you and I know people die quickly. General Norman Schwarzkopf passed away pretty quickly. We know people die very, very instantaneously. Just last Sunday, I was at a funeral of a 17-year-old who died as a byproduct of a car accident. So here's the reality. If I walk through this life and I miss Jesus, I've missed the only one who can give me abundance. Think about it a minute. How many of you have said to yourself, you know what, I don't have a whole lot of money. Now, don't raise your hand. But I've got Jesus, and it's okay. I mean, don't have a whole lot of money. And sometimes money's worry. I've talked to people that told me that. That is, you know, there's frustration. But here's the reality. You can have a million things in this life. But imagine this. After you close your eyes in death, somewhere out there in the future, you are going to stand before Jesus Christ. All the money, all the stuff, all the things, all the possessions aren't going to do a dime's worth of good. And you see, the reality is, you know, Jesus made it very clear through his disciples in Acts 4, there is no other name given unto men whereby they must be saved, Acts 4:12. So if I'm going to have abundance, I need to realize it's God's idea, it's for me, but it comes through Jesus. Now, I don't want to die today, but listen to me real carefully. It's okay. Now, it's okay, but, you know, I know that there'd have to be a lot of adjustments and things like that, but it's okay. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you say that? Can you say, it's really okay if I leave this world today? I want to live a little bit longer. And then lastly, if you and I are going to enjoy the abundance of God, here's a reality. There is a personal responsibility to receiving God's abundance and blessing. Now, here's what most people will ask at this point. Well, if God wants to have me to have the blessing, since God is an all-knowing and all-holy and all-powerful and almighty, and God can do anything, why don't God just pour it on? Well, let me explain to you why he cannot. You say, now, wait just a minute. You're saying God cannot? That's exactly what I'm saying. Let me tell you one thing God can never do. God can never, will never, has never, and can never for all of eternity violate his holy nature. God is a holy God. And since God is a holy God, God has chosen. God is a God of love. The Bible says in 1 John, God is love. And since God is love, here's what God does. He has given you a free will. God don't make you do what you do. God don't make me do what I do. Listen, he gives us a free will and a free choice system. And, you know, whenever you look in Scripture, you find all throughout Scripture that God had his hand on individuals and they could choose to obey or they could choose to disobey. Some of the best and brightest men in the Bible chose to disobey. And then some that weren't as bright as others, they chose to obey God, and God did some wonderful things through their life. But here's the reality. Don't be one of those who says, well, if God wants abundance for me, then he can just pour it on. Listen, there is something to personal responsibility in life. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. There are so many individuals who are bypassing personal responsibility. You know, it's never my fault. Have you ever noticed somebody you talk to anymore? Some people will say, well, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with the government. I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know what's wrong with them. It's never my fault. My life is not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else that's put me where I am. No, it's not. Listen, Rick, real carefully. If you're going to enjoy the life that God has in store for you, here is something that you cannot bypass, and it will never happen in your life if you do bypass it. You cannot bypass your personal responsibility because God has created you in his own image. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Genesis when God created us. And so inside of you, God has placed personal responsibility, and that means that God has endowed you with that. And when you bypass it, you know, that's why some people, they don't make a living. And say, well, I hurt my finger the other day and I just can't work. You know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not putting down people who are serious and have legitimate reasons. But we live in a world where personal responsibility, and that's exactly what's happening. And so, you know, God has created us as free moral agents. And so he gives you a will. Now listen carefully. You willfully choose where you go in life. It's not up to me where you go in life. You make those decisions. You are where you are as a byproduct of your choices. You say, well, now, no, not necessarily. So did your head not go along with you through life? Now, I want you to listen. This is going to be a serious series because we're in a serious time in our world because more and more and more Christians are missing the boat. And the reality of it is God has purposely, deliberately, intentionally given you the power of personal responsibility so through that he can bless you as you obey. You see, whenever you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, you know, God made it very clear to the people of Israel. He says, all these blessings will come if you will. In other words, God said to Israel, you have a personal responsibility. I will bless you if you take this responsibility seriously. And here's why some are not being blessed. Because it's not my responsibility. You see, God operates by his laws. God does not operate by happenstance or just by chance or if God wants to bring it. He operates by his eternal law, his eternal nature. I want you to listen. This is critical to your life. You must get back from your life what you give away. That's a law. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you hear the law of that? Whatsoever, that's an eternal law of God. Benny, whatever you give out, that's what you've got to reap. So here's the reality. If you don't accept your personal responsibility in life, if you're lazy and slothful as a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're lazy and slothful when it comes to obedience, if you don't practice the Word of God on a daily basis, how can God bless your life? Turn back to Deuteronomy 28 a minute. I want to show you something. Because this is a contract, and it's a contract that many kings would understand in the days of Moses. Because there's stipulations to this contract, to this covenant. In verse 28, because kings would enter into contracts with others around them, and they would know what this, they would understand. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Do you hear the personal responsibility in there? Listen to what God says. If you will, in other words, if I have the blessings of God, part of it is saying, you know what? God's blessings don't come just because I get on my knees and I bow and I pray. Now, won't you listen? Some people have this idea, I just get on my knees and I just pray for God to bless me and God, you bless me, and they don't work. You know what Paul said about working? If a man don't work, don't let him eat. Pretty serious. And here's the thing about it. If you don't take personal responsibility for your life, who will? Is your mom and dad going to take responsibility for your life, young person? Adult, are your kids going to take responsibility for your life? Do you think the church is going to take responsibility for your life? There is a responsibility God has given you, and that responsibility God wants you to take seriously. It's serious what you put in your mind. It's serious what you put in your body. It's serious what you ingest and digest. And the truth about it is, if I'm going to enjoy God's abundance and God's blessings, then here's what I've got to do. I have to choose to accept my responsibility seriously. You see, going back to the illustration of that lady who ended up dying, one doctor came to her, and he was really her coach, and she would sabotage her life. Now, I want to say this in as loving way as I can. I can tell you why some of you are missing God's best. As your pastor, I see it. You're sabotaging your life. You're sabotaging. You're saying, well, you know, evidently God don't have it for me. No, that's not the truth. You're destroying your own life. Well, you know, it's my life, it's my business. Okay, make yourself breathe for 1 minute. You don't have a breath without God. And you see, God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, I'm giving you personal responsibility. You tend the garden, take care of it, enjoy the relationship with one another. But here's the reality. Don't eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden. Don't violate my word. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. And I'm not saying that phrase carelessly. I walk by people's life on a regular basis who it's blowing up. About 2 weeks ago, I met with an individual whose life blew up. She said, my husband left me. And I sat there and listened as she shared and cried and shared and cried. And here's what he didn't do. Got involved in pornography and got involved in illicit things and ungodly things. Here's what he didn't do. He didn't take responsibility for his life. Now, I say this to every one of us. Your life is a gift from God. If you don't take it seriously, then no one else will. And sadly, there's so many who say, well, that's just my way. No, it's not your way. It's the way you've chosen to be. It was not meant for this husband to get addicted to pornography, but he chose it. And the thing about it is there are many, many, many Christians the world over. Do you realize that Christians lead the world in divorce rate? They exceed the unbelievers by 5%. And you know why? Because we've sort of decided to put our lives on coast. If you want a life of abundance, how seriously do you take your Father in heaven? How seriously do you take His Word? You see, the Bible gives you and me such a wonderful guide because it's God's protection book. It's His compass into abundance. God doesn't give you and me commands to mess our life up. God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, because God knows that the day that a husband does that or a wife does that, they're going to destroy that intimacy, and the kids are going to be hurt, and grandchildren are going to be hurt. But you know what we've come to in our society? God, you just buzz out of my life. And the sad part about it is it's Christians who are saying that. God, but you know what? I'm going to carry my Bible to church. I want you to listen to this verse slowly. David says it, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. What if I ask you this question? Do you love God? Well, yes, preacher, I love God. How many verses do you know? Well, now, I just can't read the Bible. No, let's be responsible. You choose not to read the Bible. Well, now, that's getting pretty harsh. You see, personal responsibility is being responsible. Is being serious. And so, you know what? You're right. I read it when I get to it. And here's the reality, friends. I say this because I see it. I watch it. I sit across from people who come to me and I never thought that would happen to your life. Their lives are blowing up. Because you see, this is not made to bypass. How many of you, if I ask you to raise your hand as a tribute to the Lord God, would say, you know what? I'm serious about the Word of God. I get into it at least daily, if I can, at least daily. Not if I can. I get into it daily. If I ask you, don't you raise your hand, what would you say? Now make the connection. Well, I read it when I come to church. Okay, look at your life then. You don't know what the Bible says. You don't know what abundant life can be. And you're thinking, okay? No, it's not okay. It never is okay, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to die, and your children are going to remember you. And they're going to remember, my dad didn't walk with God. My mom didn't walk with God. I don't even know if they put, I guess they read their Bible some. I don't know. I never heard a verse. You see, here's the reality. How do you think you can have abundant life and bypass Him? And yet, here's what happens. When you choose to get into it, now I have to tell you, there's a lot of passages I don't understand. But you know what? And I even got another version. When I read that Billy Graham reads out of another version other than the King James, and I'd encourage you to get a New International or even the Living Bible, because it's important to put it in your heart. You see, God doesn't want for you mediocrity. He wants for you His blessing. And you know what? When the world blows up and you're in this Word, there's an abundance in your heart that nobody in the world can take away. Now I want to ask you one question in closing. As we come to the end of a year and the beginning of a new year, is your life on coast, or are you taking your life seriously? Because our lives go by ever so quick. Amen. The Bible says we're like a vapor, and we're gone. We're like a breath. But you know what? There is something about a godly mom, a godly dad. And you say, well, what about all those commands? We'll get into that. But I'm here to tell you, God don't have for you a life of mediocrity. And I'm not just talking about abundance, being in peace and joy. God will do abundance in other things. But what are you doing when it comes to personal responsibility? Or are you like so many people who are saying, well, if God wants me to have it, He'll just pour it on. Friend, you'll go through life missing God's best. And if you have that line of thinking, you'll go through life and you'll end up in hell. Well, if God wants to save me, He'll save me. That's foolish. Because how many times has God come by your life and convicted you of your sin? You have a responsibility to repent and to turn to God. That's your choice. The question is, what will you do? Father, thank You so much for Your Word and for Your desire for our life, a life of abundance. But it's a life of abundance that's balanced with the fact that You've made us. You've given us life. And You give us responsibility. Father, I pray for each person here as we come to the end of a year. Lord, may we evaluate our life. How serious are we in our everyday life and living? Or have we got it on coast? Or we just think life's going to keep on going on? Father, we're foolish not to realize that You've said there's going to be a day the world's going to end. There's going to be a day the church is going home. And Father, I pray for that person here this morning that's without Christ. Pray for that person that needs to repent. Lord, the only way to abundance is them taking responsibility for their life. There's no other way. Father, I pray that You'd draw whom You would to You this morning. is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.